Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We've heard it a lot. We need to hear it more. Some need to hear it more than others. Because it says this, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love, not to wrath, not to anger, to love, and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another," which is what I'm doing this morning, "and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some people do, but exhort one another, "and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Your presence matters." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Your presence matters. Your presence matters to God. Your presence matters to this church. Your presence matters to other people. And your presence matters to you. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before. I would imagine that you have in one form or another. But we have a serious problem in our world today. Everywhere we go, we see people, and yet we see people who, although they are there, they are not there. They're present, but they're not present. We live in a world full of distracted people. There can be 100 people in the room, and yet no one is talking to anybody else. Anybody know why that is? Because there's phones on. We got a smart lady right over here. You get a free donut on the way out today. Amen. Because they're on their phones. Anybody here own a cell phone? It's not a trick question, be honest. Anybody don't own a cell phone? You're the smart people. All right. Anybody own your phone right now while I'm preaching? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Busted. Ushers. Cell phones, while they are a great invention, they've caused a lot of problems in the world today. A lot of problems we have now that we did not have before the invention of cell phones. I Googled negative effects of cell phones, and here were a few that was listed. Number one was text neck. Text neck. Looking down at your phone for several hours a day can put serious pressure on your neck. Thanks to gravity, tilting your head forward can exert a force on your spine between 50 and 60 pounds. No wonder you're hurting. Poor sleep. Not only does excessive smartphone use keep you mentally engaged late into the evening, the blue light from the screen actually interferes with your ability to fall asleep and may increase your chances of insomnia. Tendonitis. Too much typing may cause tendonitis in your thumbs and cause your thumbs to become inflamed and sore. Distracted traveling. Using your smartphone while driving can result in serious accidents, while distracted walking can also cause you to run into a pole or fall into a hole. Relationships. Overuse of cell phones can act as a barrier to quality interactions and conversation, leading to decreased satisfaction in our relationships. Excessive device use can lead to feelings of being disconnected when we spend time with family and friends. Concentration and learning issues. Wanting to check your smartphone all the time may affect concentration and distract you when you are in a classroom or in a work environment or in a church environment. I added the church part. Less physical activity. By having access to food and entertainment at your fingertips, you might inadvertently be less active, which may affect your health in the long run. Eyesight problems. Watching the screen on your cell phone all the time may have a negative effect on your health, as all screens emit a blue light that can be damaging to the human eye. Lack of personal communication. Texting and instant messages can replace your need to communicate with others by phone or in person. Peer pressure. Kids and adults alike may feel pressured into getting the latest device in order to feel accepted in their peer group. And listen to this one. A waste of time. The average person spends over 2 hours per day on social media. Over 2 hours a day. What could you do with an extra 600 hours per year? 25 days. More than 3 weeks. Well, I would like a 3-week vacation. How many would like a 3-week vacation? Here's a way to get one. Turn your phone off. Falling into the comparison trap. Seeing what everybody else has and what everybody else is doing can lead to covetousness. Viewing ungodly content. I added that. Content. Viewing ungodly things. I could preach a whole message on the dangers of cell phone use, but that's not my purpose here today. But the point is that there's a lot of people on their phones that aren't engaged in the world around them. They're present, but they're not present. And I'm preaching to you today that your presence matters. Being with other people matter. It matters to God. It matters to this church. It matters to our community. It matters to other people. And it matters to you. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into Scripture. Not next week, but after the week, hopefully after that, I'll pick back up. Just discovering how important it is for us not just to gather, but to be present when we gather. So today's subject is your presence matters to God. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," Jesus said, "there am I in the midst of them." Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there I will be in the midst of them. Something special happens when God's people gather together, like we're doing here this morning, in the name of Jesus. Well, what happens, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. God promised that he would be in the midst of those who gather together in his name. Hallelujah. That sounds exciting to me. That's good news to me. How many enjoy the presence of God? I enjoy the presence of God. I enjoy what we just felt here today as we were singing and worshiping the Lord God. We felt his presence here because he promised that where two or three were gathered together in his name, there he would be in the midst of them. So that's why your presence matters. If you're here and I'm here, then the Word of God says that he has promised that he would be here. Now, most people have fallen out of the practice of getting together as we're doing here today to go to church. Most people in Alamogordo aren't in church this morning. Less than 25% of the people who live in this city are in church today. Think about that. Less than 25%. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to China. We don't have to go overseas in order to have a mission field. We live in a mission field right here in Alamogordo. Your neighborhood, your street is a mission field. There's people all around all of us who aren't going to church, who aren't living for God, who aren't in a relationship with Jesus Christ like they need to be. Do those who don't go to church understand what they're missing? Do they understand what they're giving up by not going to church? They are missing out on being in the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't blame them for not wanting to go to a dead, dull, dry, boring church. I don't want to go to that kind of church either. Amen. But where the Spirit of God is at, where the presence of God can be felt and moving in the midst of his people, I want to go to that kind of church. I want to feel the moving of God's Spirit and God's presence as he works and ministers to his people. Amen. While church attendance is at an all-time low in our lifetime, by no means is this a new issue. The same problem has been around for thousands of years. It was an issue in the New Testament church. That's why Paul wrote, the Hebrew writer wrote what I read to you in Hebrews 10, 24, 25. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So it was a problem then. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The NLT reads it like this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So according to the Bible, not only are we giving up being in the presence of the Lord with fellow believers, but we're also missing out on encouragement that comes from getting together and being present with God's people. So we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So the problem of people not going to church is not new in 2024. It's been around a long time. It's not a new problem. It's an old problem. But it's a problem and a habit that's becoming more and more common every year, and it's supposed to be just the opposite of that. We should not be coming to church less and less. We should be coming to church more and more, according to the Bible. More and more, as we see the day approaching, we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We should be drawing closer and closer to God, not drifting further and further away from Him. How many of you have habits? All of you have habits. That's not a bad thing, unless it's a bad habit. Then it's a bad thing. That's not real deep, right? We all have habits. Most of you probably set your alarm the same time this morning that you normally do on Sunday morning to get up to go to church. How many of you parked in the same spot or close to the same spot where you normally park in the parking lot? How many of you are sitting in the same seat or close to the same seat that you normally sit in? I'm pointing out to you, we are creatures of habit. We have habits, all of us do, and they can be good or they can be bad. Coming to church every time that the church doors is open is a good habit to be in. Not being here every time the doors is open is a bad habit to get into. Somebody said we first make our habits and then our habits make us. Somebody else said people form habits and habits form futures. Most of us here today have a habit of being here every Sunday morning, and by making it a habit to gather together with God's people every week, we get to experience the continued presence of the Lord. I'm not saying that you have to do anything when you get here. I hope you do. You'll be blessed more if you do. But the Bible says just by being here, just by gathering together with two or more in His name, we have the privilege, we have the benefit of enjoying His presence. Now, you can watch the service online. We have a number of people doing that today. I'm amazed. I go back and look ever so often, and sometimes we have more people watching online on a given service than we actually have in service. And I'm thankful for all of those that are being blessed by watching online. But I can promise you it's not the same watching online as it is being here in this house. It's not even close to being the same. You might be able to hear the same word being preached, but you're not going to get the same experience. You're not going to feel the same presence. Being gathered together in His name, it matters. It makes a difference. Watching online is kind of like watching a fire online. You might see the flame, but you don't feel the heat. Somebody said, presence doesn't require doing. It's a matter of being. Being together with fellow believers, it matters. Philip Yancey, a famous author, wrote many best-selling books, golden medallion books. I'm not going to ask you how many know who he is, because most of the first service didn't know. So I don't want to embarrass you, but you should know. He's a good writer. He grew up in a very fundamentalistic church, and had some bad church experiences and drifted away from God stopped going to church for a period of time. Later, he wrote these words. He says, "What changed my attitude toward church? I came to realize that church has filled in me a need that could not be met in any other way. Christianity is not a merely purely intellectual internal faith. It can only be lived in community. At a deep level, I sense that church contains something I desperately need. Whenever I abandon church for a time, I find that I'm the one who suffers. My faith fades, and the crusty shell of lovelessness grows over me again. I grow colder rather than hotter. And so my journeys away from church have always circled back inside." Somebody else wrote, "The virtuous soul that is alone is like the burning coal that is alone. It will grow colder rather than hotter." When I read that, I was reminded of the pastor who decided to visit one of his parishioners who had been missing church. And he showed up at the gentleman's house, and the gentleman invited him in, and he was sitting there by a roaring fire. And the preacher pulled up a chair beside the fire and just sat there looking at the fire, not saying a word. A few minutes went by, and he got the tongs of the fireplace and pulled out one of the logs and set it over on the side inside the fireplace, and they just sat there and watched it burn. And slowly but surely, that log that had been moved to the side began to die out, lose its heat, lose its flame, and finally it became cold. The preacher picked the tongs back up, put them back in the fire, in just short order, it began to crackle and smoke and flame back up once again. He never said a word. He got up to leave, and the gentleman said, "Thank you, Pastor, for coming by and for preaching such a fiery sermon." When you're not in the fire, you get cold. When you get pushed to the side, the flame's going to go out. Amen. What I'm saying is, your presence in the body of Christ, your presence with other believers, it makes a difference. It matters. And it invites the presence of God Almighty into our midst. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth," speaking of Jesus, "where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." It was the custom of Jesus to go to church. It was his habit to go to church. Every Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue. It was a priority to him. It was an example for us. When we prioritize gathering together with God's people here every week, we are following the example of Jesus Christ, and we are demonstrating what is the priority in our life. And it is something that he is taking note of. He notices. He knows every person who is here today, and he knows every person that should be here today who's not. Have you ever went to church when you didn't want to? I have. Have you ever went to church when you didn't feel like going? I have. Have you ever attended church when you had a good excuse not to? I have. I had one this morning. I went out and cranked my truck up at 5 o'clock this morning, and it wouldn't do nothing. Dead in the doornail. Lights wouldn't even come on when I opened the door. I had no warning. It hadn't drugged one bit. I didn't know my battery was getting weak, but it wouldn't turn over. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to church? Well, you could just come with your wife. Well, my wife wasn't home. At 5 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, she stayed out all night. She's been doing that a lot lately, howling at the moon. Yeah, you want to carry me to lunch, Paul? No, she's been staying with the woman that's on hospice that she's been looking after. But I could have said, some people would have said, "Well, I couldn't go to church today, Pastor. My battery was dead." And so I had to fool with that battery for over an hour to get it charged up enough where I could come down the hill. I have a motorcycle, but I hadn't cranked it up in months. I did get it cranked up, but like I said, it was 27 degrees outside. I don't ride very much in the sunshine, much less when there's ice on the road. Attending church whenever you have an excuse not to. Have you ever showed up even though there was frustrating people in the church that you were going to go to? That reminds me of the lady who walked into her son's room one Sunday morning. She said, "Get up, it's time for church." He said, "I'm not going to church today." She said, "Why not?" He said, "I'll give you three reasons why I'm not. One is, I don't like those people. Two, they don't like me. And number three, I don't want to." And she said, "Well, you are going to church today, and I'll give you three reasons why. Because you're supposed to go to church on Sunday, and because you're a Christian, and number three, because you're the pastor." You been there, Paul? There have been times I didn't feel like going to church, but I went because I was the pastor, or because I was the pastor's son, or because it was expected of me. Regardless of how you feel before you get here, if you'll put forth the effort to come, I promise you, you'll be blessed. I promise you, you'll feel different. I promise you, things will happen in your life in the presence of God Almighty. When you get in the presence of the Lord, it brings change to your heart, to your mind, to your attitude, to your spirit. Amen. When you get in His presence, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. If you can get where God is, and the Bible said He's going to be wherever two or three of us are. How many of you ever been changed by coming to church? Sure you have. Every one of you have. You've been changed by going to church. You might not have wanted to. You might not have felt like it. You might have went for the wrong reason, but you went. And while you were in the house of God, while the music was being played and sang, while the word of God was being proclaimed, something began to happen inside of you, and you thought to yourself, you know, it's good that I'm here. If you'd be honest with yourself, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Going to church should be a priority in our life. There never was a time in my life when it hasn't been a priority. I was raised going to church. I raised my kids going to church. I never asked them if they wanted to go to church or not. My daddy never asked me if I wanted to go to church or not. He never came in there and said, "Tim, would you like to sleep in this morning?" No, not on your life. He never came in and said, "Would you like to take this Sunday off? Would you like to go camping? Would you like to go fishing? Would you like to go hunting? Would you like to go play golf? What would you like to do today, Tim?" I never had that option. And neither did my kids. If it was Sunday, we went to church. If it was Wednesday, we went to church. If it was Friday night youth service, I went to church. If it was revival, I went to church. 7 nights a week. We used to have revival for months, 7 nights a week. And maybe after a month, we'd get a Saturday night off. We're having church Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. Three nights, three services. You think you can make it? I think you can. I'm looking for you. I'm saving you a seat. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalms 122:1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad. I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. I was glad. I was happy about it. I was excited about it. I was looking forward to it. Why? Because I knew when I got into the presence of the Lord, when I got with the people of God, His presence was going to be there, and I was going to be blessed and encouraged by being there. Psalms 84:10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." The NLT said, "A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a cake keeper in the house of God than to live in the good life in the homes of the wicked." I don't know about you today, but that's the way that I feel. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Jesus left us an example. We need to leave an example for others as well. Going to church was a priority in the life of Jesus. It needs to be a priority in my life and in your life. I recently read an article that caught my eye. The title was "A Category That You Won't Find in the Bible." I thought, oh, I want to read that. What is that about? And then in parentheses, it said, "The Churchless Christian." And it went on to say, it is important for Christians to be members of a local church because the New Testament apostles can't conceive of anything called a Christian that's not connected to Christ's body. Sometimes people spiritualize that reality and only talk about the universal church, but everywhere the idea of the universal church appears in the New Testament, there's a connection to a visible local church. The New Testament makes our involvement in a local church necessary. In the biblical pictures of the body of Christ, we see Paul making the argument that each member is necessary and irreplaceable. We see in 1 Corinthians 12 that the eye can't say, I have no need of the feet, and the feet can't claim, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. No, each part of the body is necessary, right? In Ephesians and Colossians, Paul talks about our being joints and ligaments, supplementing each other so that the whole body may grow up. That's really important. God's plan A for our discipleship and growth is the local church, and he doesn't have a plan B. This is why all the local church substitutes are sugary and they don't have the nutrition we need to grow the way we would hope to grow. It is vital for Christians' witness, vital for Christian growth and discipleship, and vital for the health of our local congregations that every Christian find a healthy church that they're able to be a part of and to serve there gladly. Amen. I ran across another article. It said, reasons to be a faithful member of a local church. You follow the pattern set forth in the New Testament. Although the word membership itself is not used, the principle is present in the New Testament. Most of the New Testament books are letters that were written to specific groups of people who had chosen to identify themselves with Christ and each other. The word church is almost always used to refer to a specific group of people who in some way had committed themselves to serving the Lord and one another in the same ministry location. Numbers were kept, roles were kept, servants were selected, discipline was practiced, worship was corporate, and shepherds knew for whom they were responsible. Joining a local church demonstrates a certain level of commitment, and it shows that you want to be more than a bystander, that you want to be involved in ministry. Joining a local church is like entering into a covenant relationship with other believers in order to love them as an active part of a spiritual family, and we also need the spiritual oversight and soul care of faithful shepherds. The Bible teaches us that. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow, for that would certainly not be for your benefit. Another reason being a part of a local church is it helps you live a more balanced life. We have a natural tendency not to be balanced, to gravitate toward extremes. God's design for the church as a multifaceted body whose members are interrelated and interdependent provides the local or the ideal atmosphere for balanced church growth. As we sharpen each other, our continual contact with other believers promotes balance. You help me grow. I help you grow. Being around each other helps us grow. It helps us mature. It helps us see ourselves as we really are. It's easy for you to think you're a Christian and you're Christ-like and you're all everything you need to be sitting on the couch in your pajamas by yourself. But when you come to church and somebody's parked in your parking spot or somebody's plopped in your seat, then that bad attitude will surface. And you thought you was all spiritual at home. And now that you're rubbing shoulders with other people, it's like, oh, maybe I hadn't arrived yet. They made me mad. They getting under my skin. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have acted like that. It's easy to say you're full of the fruits of the Spirit until you have to prove it. And you see some fruit hanging on your tree that's not the fruits of the Spirit. it's of the flesh. One writer said this: no one develops the proper spiritual symmetry just by listening to Christian radio or watching Christian television or reading Christian books. You can't get this kind of maturity merely by participating in a group Bible study. Unless you're an active part of a local church, your Christian life will be imbalanced. Another benefit listed is you avail yourself of the wisdom of a multitude of counselors. God never intended for us to live our lives independent of others. He desires for us to develop relationships of accountability with other Christians. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The local church is a wonderful place to find counsel, wise counsel, to receive direction from mature saints of God who have been living for God a lot longer than you have. People that are further down the road, people that are further down life's journey, people who have made some mistakes the hard way that you don't have to make. If you'll listen, if you'll turn to some wise elders and get some wise counsel, you won't have to make those same mistakes. And then we get the experience of joy of serving others. God has recreated us in Christ Jesus for the purpose of bringing glory to Him and bearing fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is primarily manifested in our relationships with others. Being a part of the body of Christ matters. Being in the house of God matters. Being in the presence of God's people matters. I want every one of you today to know and to understand that your presence matters. It matters to me. It matters to everybody around you. It matters to this church body. And most importantly, it matters to God. John 4:23-24, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the Creator, and you and I are His creation. And we have been created, every one of us, without exception, we have been created to worship God. Our presence here today is a part of that worship. You can worship Him at home, and you should. You can worship Him driving down the road in your truck or your car, and you should. You can worship Him around a coffee table with other people in a small group. You can, and you should. But I promise you, it is not the same as corporate worship. Whenever God's people get together in this place, in this house, and begin to lift our hearts and to lift our hands and to lift our voice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I promise you something takes place. Someone said true worship is any expression of obedience, praise, honor, adoration, and gratitude offered to the one true God. When you leave the comforts of your home and you gather together to worship God, it matters. When you choose to forget about yourself and to magnify the Lord and to worship Him, it matters. When you choose to lift your voice and your hearts and your hands to worship Him, it matters. When you choose to get together to listen to the Word of God and the voice of God, it matters. So let me close this morning as you stand. If you're here this morning or you're home watching online, if you haven't been consistent in your attendance to the house of God, I want to encourage you today to make the commitment to become more committed. Why? Because your presence matters. We form our habits, and our habits form our future. Amen. This is no time to be lazy. This is no time to be indifferent. This is no time to be lukewarm. 2024, folks, is no time to be staying at home. He said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to gather together as we're doing here this morning. Again, I close with the last scripture that I started with this morning, Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Amen. Turn to your neighbor again and say, your presence matters. Turn to your other neighbor, say, thanks for being here today. Amen. Let's sing this song together.
You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by.
Join hands together all across here, would you? Grab the hand of a brother, grab the hand of a sister, grab the hand of a person next to you today. Let's sing this song together.
As we're walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love.
Oh, let's do it again. Let me hear you. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, yes, together.
Until He comes, and there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for being here today. You've encouraged me today. Church was a whole lot better because you were here. Your presence matters. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with those around you. Find somebody that you haven't spoken to today. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with them.